Our next case for argument this morning is Farmers Automobile Insurance against St. Paul Mercury Insurance. Mr. Osborne.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court.
Counsel.
This Court's task in predicting what the Illinois Supreme Court would do if it had this case, I submit, is significantly lightened by the fact of the Guillen versus State Farm opinion, which was handed down in 2005. Which we believe decides essentially the identical issue.
Yes. I'm puzzled by Farmers' litigation strategy here. And your effort is to win this case by seeing if you can destabilize the exclusions in insurance contracts. How do you think that hurts your client?
This particular exclusion.
Exclusions in its insurance contracts.
We're not trying to, the rules are clear. I mean, the rules have been clear for a long time, and we're not trying to change the rules. We're saying something's wrong with this particular exclusion. And the same thing that's wrong with this exclusion is what was wrong with the set-off provision.
Do you sell this type of liability insurance?
I believe that my client does not. I'm not certain about that, but I know they don't sell directors and officers insurance. The EPL endorsement
sell
different.
Insurance with any exclusions in them that ever refer to anything that's similar. The word similar never appears in any policy issued by
not to my knowledge, and if they do, they will certainly stand by this court's decision. I have no doubt about it.
It's a great case, and I've been a judge for 32 years, and I don't think I've ever seen an insurance company arguing that an exclusion in an insurance policy is invalid.
Well, this one, the particular provision that we're talking about, we're saying it's invalid as applied. Because, and after all, we draft exclusions, too.
I understand what you're saying, but
We understand the burden on the draftsman of an exclusion, and we're saying this is a shortcut that St. Paul is not entitled to take. You can't just say, oh, and by the way, all other similar statutes that we were too lazy to list.
Well, why not? I don't understand. You can say whatever you want in insurance.
Because it doesn't meet the second test that Guillen lays out, which is a term of limitation must be clear, definite, and specific. The term similar is the opposite of specific.
I just can't imagine that there's any ambiguity in saying Fair Labor Standards Act and anything similar. Right? What you want is for the insurer to pay your employees' wages. The moral hazard of that is so spectacular that no insurance policy would be written on that.
No, this insurance
policy transparently was not written on that, but since plaintiff's lawyers are very inventive, we'll find other ways of stating a Fair Labor Standards Act claim. If you don't use the word similar, you're just setting yourself up for inventive pleading by the plaintiff's bar.
Well, some of the cases
and
that
they
cited.
Your argument seems to be insurers just have to love it. And that's a very odd argument coming from an insurance company.
They have to specifically list what they want to exclude.
But
that's not asking much.
Look, most states have a Fair Labor Standards Act. I mean, I know that at least a third of the states have minimum wages that are higher than the federal standard. So I assume every state has something. So wouldn't it be awfully cumbersome to have to list all the different state laws in the exclusion?
Well, some of the cases that they cited have an exclusion that says we don't pay for claims for wages or for back wages. That was sufficient.
Well, wait a second. That doesn't work. That can really blur the policy because this is a policy for where an employer gets into trouble with an employee. So like discrimination. That sort of seems to be the core of this policy is discrimination. So if you sue for discrimination, you're likely to ask for back wages, right?
They would be
so
excluded if there's
for
a wage
wages
exclusion.
Wouldn't make sense.
Well, it's certainly more specific than saying everything similar to the statutes that we've listed. The Guillen court looked at almost exactly the same issue.
No, but you don't understand. You're getting my point. If they said, instead of saying FLSA and similar, they said FLSA and any other wage claim. The problem with that is that that would be inconsistent with the basic coverage of the policy, which is for discrimination against employees, and the remedy for discrimination is often a suit for your wages.
I believe it's the reference to
Equal
discrimination.
Pay Act, you're asking for a higher wage.
Well, the reference to discrimination, I think, is in an exception to an exclusion, which itself doesn't create coverage. The basic coverage of the endorsement is very broad. It refers to all employment-based causes of action, federal or state, statutory or common law. And the Guillen court, it's interesting, the Guillen court said that the pension law and the workers' compensation law, which were supposedly similar in that case, they said, yes, they are similar. There are at least three Illinois appellate court cases that say they are similar. They say that argument misses the mark. That's not the question. The question is whether the term of limitation is clear, definite, and specific.
Look at your own quotations we had a case last week saying the employment wrongful acts. And if you look at the employment wrongful acts,
right,
they have sexual harassment, they have discrimination.
Look at number three. They have
retaliation.
Right.
Yes, they have a lot of stuff. That's the problem. It's very, very broad.
Long list.
But
and number three is the catch-all.
But they have defamation. But look, for all of these, very often the claim is going to include a claim for wages.
Well, it may or may not.
If you sue, say under the Equal Pay Act, that you're not being paid as much as a man, then your remedy is going to be damages that are going to be measured by your wages. So if you have an exclusion for wages, it's going to confuse the policy tremendously.
Well, but that's not the exclusion that's in this policy.
That's the exclusion you're proposing.
I'm not proposing anything.
Because you say, look, you just said that.
I'm saying that would
you
be one alternative.
You said similar is vague, but if they just said no wage claims, that would be fine. That I took to be your suggestion.
I'm saying that there are other cases that they cited that applied such an exclusion with no apparent problem, not even an argument, as I'm aware, that there was an ambiguity. But I think in light of Guillen, you simply can't use the word similar to sort of rope in.
I don't know what you mean when you say can't use the word similar.
It has to meet the clear...
You can certainly use the word similar.
At your peril. The question is,
what does it mean?
Right. It may well be unenforceable. Which is exactly what Guillen said.
You mean the word similar cannot be enforced in an insurance policy?
Well, it can't be used to refer in an exclusion. And we're talking about the rule with respect to exclusions.
You're saying an exclusion cannot contain the word similar.
Well, it can't be used to extend.
It's a nullity.
It's never been used successfully in this state that I'm aware of. It's been used unsuccessfully many times.
It's a nullity, you're saying. The word similar.
It essentially, in this context, it means nothing.
Answer my question. Does it ever mean anything in exclusion?
Well, I suppose I might be able to imagine something that it would.
Do some imagining for me.
Well, right off the top of my head, I can't think of where it would ever be appropriate to use the word similar if you're referring to a cause of action that you're excluding. The Guillen court basically says, list them. Tell us what you want to exclude. Don't just refer implicitly to something that's similar to something else. That's open-ended. That's unenforceable. It's not clear. It's not definite. And it certainly isn't specific. It's the opposite of specific.
But the problem is you have a lot of different causes of action. You have a lot of different names for things that are indistinguishable. Intentional interference with contract. Intentional interference with advantageous business relations. Intentional interference with transactional.
Perhaps they could have solved the problem by drafting the coverage grant more narrowly than they did, instead of depending on their exclusions, as what they appear to
do. You want us to redraft insurance contract?
No, I'm asking.
Explaining how the word similar can be purged.
I'm asking you to do what the Guillen court did, which is say, yes, you said similar in here, and yes, the disability law is similar to the workers' comp law, but we're not going to enforce this because it doesn't meet the Illinois standard of clear, definite, and specific. It's exactly the same issue.
The federal disability law is very different from workers' comp.
This was the city pension law, I believe it was, the firefighters' pension law.
There are dissimilar causes of action. That is true. But that doesn't mean that a federal and a state minimum wage law are dissimilar.
Well, and indeed, they said they were similar. They were similar. But we're not going to apply the set-off, even though they are similar, because they don't meet the, it doesn't meet the standard. Thank you, Your Honor.
I don't understand you. How could something be acknowledged to be similar, and the word in the insurance policy is similar, and yet it's not enforced?
Because it doesn't meet the standard of clear, definite, and specific. There are two tests that Guillen said an exclusion has to pass. One is the familiar ambiguity rule. The second test is clear, definite, and specific.
But what if, in fact, they're identical?
Pardon me?
Suppose the term in the insurance policy is similar, but the two statutes are identical.
If the two statutes are identical, then you wouldn't have to resort to the word similar. It would be excluded explicitly under your hypothetical.
Counsel, I have one question before you sit down. It's actually a request. I've been looking at the Farmers Insurance website. Farmers does indeed offer business insurance, and it covers, according to the website, discrimination claims. I'd like you to send the court a copy of that policy.
Which specific policy? The business policy? That might be a commercial general liability.
Farmers business policies that covers discrimination claims. I want to take a look at it and see how different it is from the St. Paul Mercury policy that you're suing on.
I'll try to locate the one that you're talking about. I don't know. Do you have a name for the policy that you're looking at?
No, the website doesn't give the policy's names. All I know, it's named Fred.
Okay. Of course, under Outboard Marine, it doesn't matter that my client's an insurance company. That was the basis of the district court's holding, but thank you, Your Honors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Mr. Bannon.
Good morning. May it please the court. The district court correctly entered judgment for St. Paul because the two provisions at issue here are virtually identical. I don't think I've ever heard Farmers disagree with that simple proposition that these two provisions, Section 7A1 of the FSLA, and Section 4A1 of the Illinois Minimum Wage Law, are virtually identical. Exclusion 11, the exclusion at issue here, clearly excludes coverage for unpaid overtime wage claims under the Illinois Act, just as it excludes coverage for unpaid overtime wage claims under the FLSA. The policy language of the St. Paul policy clearly and unambiguously demonstrates that, and Judge Mim was correct in applying that policy. He compared the two provisions of these two statutes, set them side by side essentially in his order at page 10, and it was clear they're virtually identical. Both types of overtime wage claims are excluded. Nevertheless, at Farmer's urging, Judge Mim did go through the analysis set forth by the Illinois Supreme Court in the Guillen case. However, Farmer's view of Guillen is incorrect because there are not two tests. There are one test, and Judge Mim applied that one test. The test is, as the Illinois Supreme Court set forth, would an average person for whom the policy was written understand the policy to exclude claims for unpaid overtime wage claims under the Illinois Act, just as it excludes coverage for unpaid overtime wage claims under the FLSA. And Judge Mim correctly determined that, yes, the average policyholder for whom the policy was written would indeed understand that to be the case. There is no second test under Guillen. The Guillen court said if the average person would understand the coverage as the insurer intended.
Pretty weird, though, because the average person doesn't know anything about different causes of action, so how would he have any basis for assessing similarity?
I agree, Your Honor. That is certainly an issue, but the Guillen court set out this standard. What is it that the average person for whom the policy was written would understand?
But it just seems like a joke, right? Average person has no view of these matters.
That is the analysis that the Illinois Supreme Court set forth. But
it
Your
still
Honor,
doesn't make it very usable.
I understand your point. The Illinois Supreme Court wanted to say
it's as if the Supreme Court asked us to assess it from the perspective of the man in the street's understanding of Mandarin Chinese. Right? It's an empty benchmark. Is there an actual benchmark that you might suggest?
Well, the two tests that Farmers has referred to are hand in hand. What the Gillen Court said is if the average person for whom the policy was written would understand the coverage as such, then the language is clear, definite, and specific. That's the test. And Judge Mim found both to be true.
Is there language that is clear and definite but not specific?
That's a good question, Your Honor. I think it's redundant, but those are the catchphrases that were used in the
Gillen Court. A word like similar can be thought definite, right, or specific. It's the whole point of similar. It's is to be open-ended, right? To invite judgment.
In this case, Your Honor, similar means virtually identical because that's what these provisions are.
If you're willing to say similar means virtually identical, then fine. That is quite definite, I think. The interesting question would be the outer bounds of similarity.
I understand, Your Honor. My point is Judge Mim determined that these provisions were virtually identical, and he made a very strong point of showing that the similarity that's called for, that's referenced in this policy provision, references similarity between provisions of statute, and that's where Farmers, I believe, gets off track. Farmers' cases, including Gillen, dealt with exclusions that related to, quote, similar laws, and
so
that
you're
is
saying
that can
you
be
compare
open-ended.
The content.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You're saying you compare the content of the
exactly
rather
Your Honor.
Than the name of the
exactly. The exclusion refers to similar provisions, not broad-based similar laws. And
so
again,
what would you do? Suppose you have an exclusion for defamation, and the suit was for casting someone in a false light. Would that be similar?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor, to tell you the truth. There are different causes of action.
The different causes of action, they overlap.
Well, why isn't your answer yes to that?
Because
that's what similar would mean, wouldn't it?
Because in this context of applying the policy language to a specific underlying complaint, that's really what we're trained to do, is let's look at what the actual allegations of the complaint say before we jump to the conclusion of whether a policy exclusion applies.
So why isn't the answer yes to Judge Posner's question, but that's not our case?
I guess that is an appropriate answer, Your Honor. But again, we look to the actual allegations of the complaint before making that conclusion. Again, Judge Mim went through the proper analysis. These two provisions, statutory provisions, were found to be clear, definite, specific, unambiguous, and I believe that he properly applied the exclusion. We've set forth in our brief other bases for affirming Judge Mim's decision. He did not find it necessary to address those issues. He did not find it necessary to base his decision on the fact that the underlying claim is really one for restitution, which this
is
court...
Is it common for... insurance companies to buy insurance? I mean, I know they, of course, frequently reinsure, but actual purchase of
yes, it is, Your Honor. Yes, it is, especially in this context of directors and officers' liability, employment practices liability. There are other areas of commercial insurance that an insurance company, just like any other company, is in business and is going to be subject to certain liabilities.
No, I understand, but the directors and officers may be stretched, but this employment wrongful act, it's just curious why an insurance company wouldn't be a self-insurer.
I don't know the answer to that question, Your Honor.
Since its business is spreading risks, I mean, why?
Right. I don't know the answer to that question. But Judge Mims' decision is can be equally affirmed on other bases, including the fact that the underlying claim is one for restitution, and this court and the Illinois Appellate Court have held that restitution or return of ill-gotten gains simply is not covered loss under an insurance policy. And Judge Easterbrook, you certainly pointed out earlier the moral hazards that can be involved in insuring such risks. Additionally, the St. Paul policy contains an exclusion, exclusion number 9, for loss from claims arising out of the insured gaining, in fact, any profit or financial advantage. And that, again, is what the situation is here. Mr. Lausch, in the underlying claim, says, farmers, you have taken my services, you've received my services, you haven't paid for them. Therefore, farmers has, in fact, according to the allegations here, obtained a financial advantage, obtained a profit, because it hasn't paid, allegedly, for the services. So there are additional bases, which we've highlighted more fully in our brief, for affirming Judge Mims' ruling, but the principal focus is here is that exclusion number 11 clearly and unambiguously excludes coverage for Illinois unpaid overtime wage claims, just as it excludes coverage for federal unpaid overtime wage claims. Unless your honors have any further questions, I don't have anything further to add.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.